إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، إن أصدق الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، we thank Allah Azza wa Jal for allowing us to come together for another reading from the treatise Al-Usul al-Thalatha by Imam al-Mujaddid Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. And in our last lesson, we mentioned the affair of Iman and its pillars. And we went on to mention, as Sheikh Saleh ibn al-Fawzan hafizahullah ta'ala mentioned in his book, the proofs that Iman increases, after mentioning the definition of Iman and those groups which went astray in Iman. And in general, he mentioned the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. You also have the Qadariyya and others from amongst them. But the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila with regards to the definition of Iman, because of the fact that those individuals held the belief, and they still hold the belief, that if a person commits a major sin, that it takes them out of the fold of Islam. The Khawarij have that belief. And they have that belief because they don't combine the nusus. They don't combine that which has been mentioned in the Quran about sins. And similar to them is the Mu'tazila. We mentioned the difference between them. The Mu'tazila is that in this life they don't hold the individual to be a disbeliever, but in the hereafter they hold him to be in the hellfire. And we mentioned the fact that the Khawarij, they were the individuals that did not seek knowledge from the companions during the time of, or after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in fact, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned against them. And some might even say, you don't have a group that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned against more during his lifetime, like you have the Khawarij. But you might say that was also the case with the Munafiqun. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned against the Munafiqun, but likewise, he diligently sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned against the Khawarij, which shows you the importance of warning against this particular group and sect from the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that's why you have the ulama and the students of knowledge constantly speaking and warning against and exposing the Khawarij and their beliefs, their ideologies, and their actions because of its great importance. And they have the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as their guide in doing so. They have the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as their guide in doing so. It's not something new. It's not something that people should say, why do they focus on the Khawarij? Why do they expose the Khawarij? Why do they speak ill of the Khawarij? This was done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's upon the Muslims to to hold their tongues if they don't have knowledge. And it's upon the Muslims to realize that the ulama, rahimahumullah ta'ala, the ulama of the past and the ulama of the present, and their students, that they do so based upon bayyina wal burhan. They do so based upon proof and evidences. And this was done by our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, warning against the Khawarij. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned that they are the dogs of the hellfire. When the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to the Sahaba, a tremendous statement where the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, one of you would, because the Sahaba, so the companions who were very diligent and mindful of their acts of ibadah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one of you would belittle his actions in front of the actions of one of these individuals. One of the actions of the Khawarij, because they were even greater in their acts of ibadat. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, and they leave the religion, like, or as quick as the arrow when it is shot from the bow. And many other narrations with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned against this group and their beliefs and their actions and their ideology. So the people should not think that the scholars and the students of knowledge that warn against the Khawarij and their actions, that this is something that shouldn't be done, and this is something which is an innovation. No, it was done by our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we mentioned that the Khawarij, as you have mentioned by Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, and others from amongst the scholars of Hadith, the Khawarij, they distanced themselves, they abandoned the scholars of their time. They were with themselves, and they left the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We mentioned previously, so much so that Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he sent his cousin Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma to the Khawarij to debate with them. And Ibn Abbas was from the youngest of the companions. He sent Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma to debate with them. And the first thing, or one of the first things that Ibn Abbas said to them, there is no companion from amongst you. There is no companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam amongst you. And isn't it sufficient to know that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who witnessed the revelation and those who walked and sat with and spoke and looked at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and heard from his blessed tongue, none of those individuals are with you right now. So that was sufficient enough. That was sufficient enough for them to know that they were upon batil. So the Khawarij, it is clear from that example that the Khawarij had abandoned the people of knowledge. And likewise, the Mu'tazila, because they abandoned the majalis of Hasan al-Basri. They abandoned the gatherings of knowledge of Imam Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala. And they went with an individual who was calling to the ways of the Khawarij, and they wound it up, they ended up in far astray, the Mu'tazila. So both of those groups, the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, they went astray. And indeed, from that which contributed to them going far astray is them abandoning the people of knowledge and the advice of the people of knowledge. Now, so in that regard, we move on. And Sheikh Saleh Fawzan Hafizahullah Ta'ala, he mentioned any of that, or from that which the Khawarij, the fact that they don't combine, they don't gather the text in order to gain a clear understanding of the issue. And he mentioned فَإِذَا جُمِعَتْ بَيْنَ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, because مثلاً from the verses that the Khawarij, or from the ideology of the Khawarij, is they focus on the verses of the punishment of Allah. They focus on the verses of the punishment of Allah. مثلاً in Surah Al-Jinn, the 23rd verse, وَمَنْ يَعْفِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبْدًا. And whoever disobeys Allah, then verily for him is the hellfire, he will remain in it forever. So they stop there. They take this verse. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan said, من أخذ بظاهرها كفر بالمعصية مطلقة. Whoever takes that which is apparent in this verse, he would say, whoever he would say, or he would have the belief that whoever commits a sin, he's a disbeliever. وإن ردها إلى قوله, but if he gathers it and joins it with the statement of Allah, إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء, the statement of Allah in Surah An-Nisa, the 48th verse. Verily Allah does not forgive that partners are set up with him, and Allah forgives other than that to whom he wills. تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْحَقِّ, the truth becomes clear to him. So in the first verse, Allah speaks whoever disobeys Allah, for verily for him is the hellfire. And the second verse, Allah mentions that Allah doesn't forgive shirk. So this explains the first verse. That which Allah doesn't forgive and the individual will be in the hellfire forever is the individual that dies upon shirk. The individual that dies upon shirk, not the individual who commits a sin and then repents to his Lord, tabarak wa ta'ala. So he said, تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْحَقُّ وَأَنَّهُ لَا يَخْرُجْ مِنَ الدِّينِ. This clarifies the truth, and it clarifies that the individual has not left the religion. وَلَكَنَّهُ مُتَوَعَّدٌ بِالنَّارِ. But the individual is being warned of the hellfire. إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ غَفَرَ لَهُ. If Allah wants, Allah will forgive. وَإِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَهُ. And if Allah wants, Allah Azza wa Jalla would, not fun. If Allah wants, Allah will forgive him. And if Allah wants, Allah will punish him. فَقَدْ يَأْتِي عَلَيْهِ مُكَفَّرَاتِ فِي الدُّنْيَا أَوْ عَذَابٌ فِي الْقَبْرِ تُكَفِّرْ هَذِهِ سَيِّئَاتِ. It also is possible that the individual has expiations in this life or punishment in the grave, and this is an expiation for his sins. وَالْمُكَفَّرَاتِ كَثِيرًا. And expiations for sins are many. يُبْتَلَى بِالْمُصَائِبِ. An individual is given trials and tribulations. يُبْتَلَى بِعُقُوبَاتِ الدُّنْيَا أَوْ يُعَذِّبْ فِي قَبْرِهِ أَوْ يُعَجِّلَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَقُومْ تَحْتَ مَشِيئَةٍ. So a person can be tested in this life. That is an expiation. And you have all of this, yani, the speech of the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala is all based on proofs. The speech of the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala is all based on proofs. Go to Riyadh al-Salihin and look at the chapter of patience. And you have the ahadith where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that an individual, a believer, is not afflicted with a trial or a calamity except that it removes the sins. Yani, so that was the Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, or that was the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala saying is based on proofs and evidences. And we understand when we gather all of the texts that an individual who disobeys Allah Azza wa Jal, this individual is not doomed to the hellfire, but there can be things that the individual can do that Allah wipes away those sins. And the only thing that an individual does that would make the individual doomed for the hellfire is that the individual commits shirk and dies upon it. That the individual commits shirk and dies upon it. Then that's why you have in the beginning of Riyadh al-Salihin the chapter of forgiveness, the chapter of patience, the chapter of repentance, all of those chapters. When you gather the text in those chapters, the verses that are mentioned as well as the ahadith that are mentioned, it becomes clear to you how the Khawarij have gone astray. How the Khawarij have gone astray. Now, then moving on, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan Habibullah Ta'ala mentions that Iman, a part of our belief in Iman is that it increases and it decreases. And this is based on the many proofs in the Quran from amongst them Surah Al-Anfal, the second verse, as well as Surah At-Tawbah, the 124th verse, and we mentioned that last week. Then the author says, وَأَرْكَانُهُ سِتَّةٌ. The pillars of Iman are six. That which holds up Iman are six. الأول أن تؤمنوا بالله, أن تؤمن بالله. The first of the pillars of Iman, the first of the six pillars of Iman. So Islam has five pillars. And Iman has six pillars. The first of the six pillars of Iman is that you believe in Allah Azza wa Jal. It is the first pillar of Iman. And this means, وَيَشْمَلْ أَنْوَعُ التَّوْحِيدَ الثَّلَاثَةَ. And this comprises the three forms of Tawheed. Tawheed Al-Uluhiyah, Tawheed Al-Rububiyah, and Tawheed Al-Asma wa Sifat. The Tawheed of Lordship, which is Tawheed al-Rububiyah, that Allah is the Khaliq, Allah is the creator, Allah is the provider, Allah is the controller. That is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah is the Tawheed of worship, is that Allah is the only one we worship, and worship in all of its forms, as we've mentioned previously. As we mentioned in the beginning of Usul al-Thalatha, wa anwa' al-ibadat allati amara Allahu biha, and the forms of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered. And then you have Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, the oneness of the names and the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this rukn, this pillar, which is the belief in Allah Azza wa Jal, to sum it up, it is the belief in all three forms of Tawheed. And we know, and we've discussed in detail, these three different forms of Tawheed. And it's important for the believer to focus on them. It's important for the believer, and مثلا, we've mentioned in the past that the brothers and sisters, when they read the Quran and they come across a verse from the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal speaking of himself, then the believer should think and reflect, which form of Tawheed does this fall under? Well, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Verily to Allah belongs the creation and the order. What is this referring to? When Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Lord of the world, which form of Tawheed does this fall under? And the ulama of the past, Rahimahum Allah Ta'ala, they divided Tawheed into these three categories to make it easy for the person to understand and comprehend. To make it easy for the person to understand and comprehend. And the taqseem, or the division of Tawheed into three categories, it was something that was known by the Salaf. It was something which was known by the Salaf. And no one denies it or rejects it except an individual of innovation or desires. And when you look at their affair or their argumentation for the division of Tawheed into three categories, they do so without a strong foundation. Indeed, they do so without a strong foundation. And it is simply said to them that the ulama of the Salaf, when they read the book of Allah Azza wa Jal from the time of the Sahaba, when they read the book of Allah Azza wa Jal from the time of the Sahaba, it became apparent to them that Allah Azza wa Jal, that the verses that are referring to Allah Azza wa Jal fall under one of these three categories. They fall under one of these three categories. But those same, and Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Abbad, Hafizullah Ta'ala, he has a book in that regard. And the introduction is by Sheikh Salah al-Fawzan, Hafizullah Ta'ala. But those individuals, those same individuals, when it is said to them, those same individuals who deny the taqseem, the division of Tawheed, and they said dividing it is an innovation, they don't deny the division in terms of fiqh. They don't deny the division in terms of fiqh. You say to them, okay, the usul al-fiqh, does it have division? They say, oh yes, it has. You have the wajib, you have the mustahab, you have the mandub, you have the haram, you have the makruh, and you have the mubah. He said, that taqseem, was it known by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They said, no, but it's just to make the affair easy. Like, what is the difference? Once again, when you go to the affair of fiqh, in the books of fiqh, they don't deny that. They don't touch that. They said, no, you have the wajib, you have the mustahab, you have that which is obligatory, you have that which is recommended, you have that which is allowed, al-mubah, you have that which is haram, and you have that which is disliked. And all fiqh affairs in terms of salat and zakat and all of that falls under one of those things. All of the actions that a believer can do falls under one of those five things. They said, okay, so you find that in the books of it. They say, yes. He said, but why was it made up? He said, to make the affair easy. To understand that when you hear an order from Allah, an order from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you understand which category does it fall under. He said, but why don't you deny that type of division? They don't deny that type of division. Likewise, when you go to the affair of Nahu, when you go to al-ism wal-fi'l, al-maf'ul bihi, all of that, the ilm al-Nahu, was it an ilm, yani, was it divided, yani, during the time of the Sahaba, did they say this is a fi'la and this is a fa'la and this is maf'ul bihi? No, they didn't say that. They said, okay, so this ilm, why don't you deny this ilm? They said, no, because we need to make these terminologies so that we understand the speech of Allah, the speech of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, okay, so what's the difference? Okay, what's the difference? We haven't changed anything in the Book of Allah, haven't changed anything in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This terminology was made, or the terminology was mentioned by the Salaf to understand, to bring about greater understanding, not to change or distort anything from the Book of Allah or from the Sunnah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, and we know with regards to the sifat, the names and the sifat of Allah azza wa jalla, or the sifat of Allah azza wa jalla, we believe in the specific sifat of Allah, as Allah Barak wa ta'ala has described Himself, or as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described His Lord Barak wa ta'ala, and we don't distort it, nor do we deny it, nor do we negate the sifat itself, nor do we negate the sifat itself. And we know that the meanings of the sifat of Allah are known, and we know that how specifically Allah does the action, we do not know. And we know that faith in it is obligatory, and we know to indulge in how it takes place is an innovation, as is the statement of Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala. الثاني الإيمان بالملائكة. The second pillar of Iman is that we believe in the angels. We believe in the angels of Allah Azza wa Jal. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan Hafiz Allah Ta'ala, he said, الملائكة, the angels, خلق من خلق الله في عالم الغيب. It is from the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal in the world of the unseen. خَلَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ لِعِبَادَتِهِ وَتَنْفِيذِ أَوَامِرِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي مُلْكِ. Allah created them to worship Him and to fulfill His orders in His creation. وَهُمْ أَصْنَافٌ. And verily there are different categories. كُلُّ صِنْفٍ لَهُ عَمَلٌ مُوَكَّلٌ بِهِ وَيَقُومُ بِهِ. All of them, all of the different categories of the angels, they have actions which they are designated for, and they fulfill. لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم. And this is a verse. They do not disobey Allah in that which He has ordered them. ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. And they do exactly what He told them. فمنهم من هو موكل بالوحي. The angels from amongst them are those who are responsible for the revelation, and that is Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. وهو أشرف الملائكة, and he is the most precious of the angels. وهو الروح الأمين شديد القوي, and he is the trustworthy spirit, and verily he is strong. نعم. And this is then the Sheikh حفظه الله تعالى mentions some of the verses with regards to the ملائكة. ومنهم من هو موكل بحمل العرش. From amongst the ملائكة you have those or responsible for carrying the throne of Allah Azza wa Jalla, as it's mentioned in Surah Al-Ghafir. الَّذِينَ يَحْمِلُونَ الْعَرْشَ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُ. Those who carry the throne of Allah and that which is around it. In Surah Al-Ghafir, the seventh verse. وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٍ. In Surah Al-Haqqa, the 17th verse. Eight of them would be carrying the throne of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we understand, like the Sheikh said, Al-Arsh wa a'zam makhluqat. That is, the throne is the most tremendous of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. And you have the Malaika carrying the throne of Allah, so you can imagine how tremendous they must be. You can imagine how tremendous they must be. And because of that, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan said, wa hadha dalilun ala 'izami al-Malaika. And this is a proof of the how great and how magnificent and mighty the angels are. How mighty the angels are. We should understand, yani, with regards to, before we continue, with regards to the Malaika. Yani, we understand that the Malaika, their numbers, وَلَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُ. As Allah Qura says, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُ. The statement of Allah in Surah Al-Mudathir. Statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Mudathir, where Allah Ta'ala mentioned, and no one knows His army except Allah. Yani, the army of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The angels, they are described as being an army. The angels are likewise described as being messengers. As Allah SWT mentioned in Surah Al-Hajj, Allah SWT says, Allahu yastafi min al-malaika rusulan wa min al-nasi inna Allah samiyun basir. Allah SWT chooses from his malaika messengers. And also in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Fatir, Alhamdulillah, Fatir al-Samawati wal-Arja ila al-malaika rusul. Allah SWT says, all praise be to Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who made the malaika as messengers. So the malaika are described as being messengers. The malaika, like we also mentioned in the beginning, the malaika also described as being an army. As Allah SWT mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, وَأَنْجَلَ جُنُودًا لَمْ يَرَاهَا. Allah SWT at the beginning, ثُمَّ أَنْجَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَى الرَّسُولِهِ وَعَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَنْجَلَ جُنُودًا لَمْ يَرَاهَا. Verily Allah sent down His tranquility upon His messenger and the believers, and Allah sent down an army which you could not see. So the malaika there is described as being messengers, the malaika described as being an army, the malaika is also described as being like diplomats, you know, individuals that are sent by, like, you know, when we say a diplomat is a person sent from a country to speak to and rectify between other countries, and the malaika are described as that as well. As Allah SWT says, بِأَيْدِي سَفَرَ كِرَامٍ بَرَرَ. In Surah Abasa, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions that the malaika are safara. Like we say the translation as like a diplomat. And you have in the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Sahih Bukhari about reading the Quran, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, مَثَلَ الَّذِي يَقْرَى الْقُرْآنَ وَهُوَ حَافِظ لَهُ مع سفرة الكرام البررة. Whoever reads the Quran and it's easy for him, he is with the respected diplomats, yani the malaika. But also with regards to the malaika, to understand the, you know, how tremendous this creation is, no one knows their numbers except Allah Azza wa Jal. No one knows their numbers except Allah Azza wa Jal. You had in the hadith, it's reported in the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Laylat al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended to the sky and entered into Jannah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَرُفِعَ لِي الْبَيْتُ الْمَعْمُورِ فَسَعَلْتُ جِبْرِيلِ. I saw a tremendous house, tremendous structure. So I asked Jibreel concerning it, فَقَالَ هَذَا الْبَيْتُ الْمَعْمُورِ. Jibreel said, this is the house which is dwelled, and he's dwelled in. يُصَلِّ فِيهِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفْ مَلَكٍ إِذَا خَرَجُوا لَمْ يَعُودُوا إِلَيْهِ. Jibreel said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every day, 70,000 angels pray in this structure. And when they leave, the 70,000 that are praying in it, when they leave, they would never return. So understand that hadith, yani 70,000 angels pray in this house a day. And once an angel leaves, he will never pray there again. So imagine, yani from the beginning of the time, from the beginning of creation until Yawm al-Qiyamah, from the beginning of the creation until Yawm al-Qiyamah, 70,000 malaika, angels pray, 70,000 malaik pray in this house, and once they pray once, they will never return. So you can only imagine the tremendous number. Likewise, the hadith, which is reported in the Muslim of Imam Ahmed and the Jam of Imam Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, and authenticated by Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala in his silsilat ahadith as-sahiha, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the stretching of the sky. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنِّي أَرَى مَا لَا تَرَوْنَ وَأَسْمَعُ مَا لَا تَسْمَعُونَ أَطَّتِ السَّمَاءِ وَحَقَّ لَهَا أَن تَعُدْ. Verily the sama, the sky, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I see that which you do not see, and I hear that which you not hear, and I have heard the sky stretch. And it verily it has the right to stretch. And the sound of stretching. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma fiha mawdi'un arba'u asabi' illa malak wadi'un jabhata sajidan lillahi ta'ala." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "And verily it has the right to stretch." This noise of stretching, it has the right to. For verily, there's not a place in Jannah that four fingers can sit in, except that there is an angel bowing and prostrating to Allah Azza wa Jal, placing his forehead on the ground for Allah Azza wa Jal. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Lo ta'lamuna ma a'lam." لَدْحَكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you knew that which I knew, you would laugh very little and you would cry more. You would laugh very little and you would increase in your crying. So if there is not a place of four fingers in the heavens, except, or in the sky, no, in the heavens, in the sky, except that there is an angel prostrating to Allah Azza wa Jalla, you can imagine. Or in fact, you can't imagine their numbers. You cannot imagine their numbers. Likewise, the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, reported in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yu'ata bi jahannam yawma idhin laha sab'una alf zimam, ma'a kulli zimam sab'una alf malak yujurrunaha." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on that day, the hellfire will be brought, and it has 7,000. It has 7,000 rinds. It has these rinds that are being pulled. It has 7,000 of them. And on each of those rinds, you have 7,000 angels pulling the hellfire. So 7,000. And on each of those 7,000, you have 7,000 malaika pulling it. So you can only imagine the size of Jahannam. And you can only imagine the amount. Well, you can't imagine the amount of malaika. Naam. Then the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala goes on to mention, you have from amongst the malaika, you have those who have 600 wings, and he is Jibreel alayhi salatu salam. And then you have those who are responsible for the rain, and those who are responsible for the crops, as you have in the hadith, and his name is Mikael. You have those who are responsible for those who are responsible. The individual who is responsible for blowing into the horn, and his name is Israfil. You have that in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that from the time that Allah has created the creation until Yawm al-Qiyamah, Israfil has been standing, holding the horn, ready to be informed by his Lord to blow in it for the Day of Judgment. Then you have those who are responsible for taking the soul. As is mentioned by Allah in Surah Al-Sajda, the 11th verse. Allah says, "Kul yatawaffakum malakul mawtu alladhi wukila bikum thumma ila rabbikum turja'un." Verily, the angel of death would be responsible or bring about your death. And then you would return to your Lord in Surah Al-Sajda. Then you have those who are responsible for helping the angel of death. You have those who are responsible for protecting the children of Adam. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ in Surah Al-Infitar. You have those who are responsible for protecting you from evils. You have those who are responsible for writing down your deeds. And many other deeds of the Malaika. And you can read the rest of the speech of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan Habib Allah Ta'ala in this regard. And there's a good book with regards to, I intended to mention two good books in that regard. One, we mentioned the book by Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Abbad Habib Allah Ta'ala on the division of Tawheed into three categories and the proofs and evidences for that. There's another book by Sheikh Abdul Razak himself as well, The Increase of Iman. The Reasons for the Increase of Iman, also a very good book. And with regards to the Malaika, one of the best books that were written during our time is the book by Sheikh Muhammad Akil, Hafizullah Ta'ala. It's called Al-Malaika Al-Muqarrabun, or it's called the Mu'taqid Firq Al-Muslimin Wal-Yahud Wal-Nasara Wal-Falasafa Al-Wathaniyin في الملائكة والمقربين. And a portion of it was translated. And all of the books I mentioned, the two by Sheikh Abdul Razak, those have been translated. And this one by Sheikh Muhammad Aqil, if I'm not mistaken, it was translated in America, or a portion of it was translated. The Sheikh Saleh Fazer, Hafizahullah Ta'ala, goes on toward the end of the speech of the Malaika. He goes on to say that the Malaika are actually things that Allah created. They are actual beings that Allah has created. They're not, you know, as the philosophers, they say they are feelings. If you feel good, this is a jinn. And a jinn is actually a bad feeling. And an angel is actually a good feeling. Not that it's an actual being. And this is Sheikh Saleh Fawzan Habib Allah Ta'ala, he says, هَذَا قَوْلُ إِلْحَادِ. This is a blasphemous statement. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. We seek refuge in Allah. And to say that the malaika, they're not actual beings, but it's just a good feeling. When you have a good feeling, that's an angel. And when you have a bad feeling, that's a jinn. Not that a jinn brings about a bad feeling. No, they say that jinns are not actual beings. Jinns are bad feelings, and malaika are good feelings. You don't have actual beings. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan said, this is blasphemy. This is blasphemy. And unfortunately, it's present in a book called Tafsir al-Manar by Sheikh Muhammad Rashid Rida. And he mentioned this on his Sheikh, Muhammad Abdu. So Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, Habibullah Ta'ala, in here, he's warning us. And this is what, walillahil hamd, one of the ways of the scholars of the past and one of the ways of the scholars of the present, is that during their books and during their lessons, they warn us against what we should read. You know, they warn us against what we should read, what we should stay away from, what books we should read, what books we shouldn't read, what individuals we should listen to, what individuals we shouldn't listen to. This is not something innovative. This is not something innovative. This is the way of our ulama. If you go into Al-Majmu' Al-Fatawa, the Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions hundreds of books of Ahl al-Bid'ah that we are to stay away from. That we are to stay away from. Even Sheikh Saleh Fawzan Habibullah ta'ala, he has a book, he has a three-volume, if I'm not mistaken, book where he warns against books. He warns against books and authors. And there was other books that were written by some of the students of our time, Al-Kutub Al-Lati Haddara Minha Al-Ulama, books that scholars warned against. So this is something, you know, walillahi alhamd, the scholars of Ahl Sunnah, they call to the Tawheed, they call to the Sunnah, and they warn against the Shirk, they warn against the Bid'ah, and they warn against the people of Shirk and Bid'ah. They warn against people of Shirk and Bid'ah. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan Hafizahullah Ta'ala is warning us against this book, and he says that the speech is batil in Tafsir al-Manar, the speech is batil, the speech that was mentioned by Sheikh Muhammad Rashid Rida, you know, the speech that was mentioned by Sheikh Muhammad Rashid Rida that he got from his Sheikh Muhammad Abdu is batil. And he mentioned, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan mentioned that he hopes that Sheikh Muhammad Rashid Rida didn't believe this, but it was for him not to put this speech in his book. He says, وَلَكِنْ نَقَلَهُ مِنْ غَيْرِ تَعْقِيدٍ فِيهِ خُطُورًا وَهَذَا كَلَامٌ بَاطِلٌ وَكُفْرٌ بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ. He said, and yani, we hope that he did not believe in this, and we hope that he just mentioned it, but mentioning it without warning against it is dangerous. He mentioned Sheikh Muhammad Rashid Rida, mentioned it without warning against it, and indeed this is something dangerous. Indeed, this is something dangerous. And he mentions, فَالْإِنسَانَ لَا يَدْخُلْ بِعَقْلِهِ وَتَفْكِيرِهِ أَوْ يَنْقُلْ عَنَ الْفَلَاسَفَةِ. So you should not enter into your intellect or that which you think, nor should you mention from them. Now notice what the Sheikh is saying. Nor should you narrate from them. Yani why narrate from the kuffar? Why when it comes to religion? Why narrate from the kuffar? Why narrate from the philosophers? Why narrate from them? عن الزنادقة. On the atheists, شَيْءٍ مِنْ أُمُورِ الدِّينِ وَأُمُورِ الْغَيْبِ. Why mention something from the religion from them? Why mention affair of the unseen? Why? وَإِنَّمَا يَعْتَمَدْ عَلَى الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. But that which you should base your information on is the book and the sunnah. That which you should base your information on is the book and the sunnah. And indeed, we find that this is one of the means of calamity during our present day. You have individuals that have reached a level where they feel, no, there's no problem. We can narrate from the kufar and we can mention in their books of religion. In their books of religion, they're narrating from the kufar. In their books of da'wah, they're narrating from the kufar. Was not the book of Allah, the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the books of the Salaf as-Salih, were those books not sufficient? Were those books not sufficient? You have the likes of Usama bin Shu'ayb Hassan. Look what he's narrating with regards to evolution and the likes of and the Darwin theory, narrating it, even believing it, even mentioning it in lectures. You have the likes of Shadid Muhammad mentioning from the Kufar, you know, how, you know, the books of the Kufar are some of their ideologies. He mentioned Dave Carnegie, you know, it's an example of how we should view the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, we don't have that. We don't have sufficient understanding and knowledge and wisdom in the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the books of the Salaf as-Salih. Now we have to start narrating from the kufar and our books of religion and our books of da'wah. The likes of Yasir Qadi, the same thing. The likes of Yasir Qadi mentioning the kufar and mentioning the philosophers and the thinkers in da'wah, in calling to Allah azza wa jal. Why? Yani, is not the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sufficient for us? Is not the statement of the Salaf as-Salih sufficient for us that we have to start going into the books of the Kufar and bring examples from their books? The reality is when individuals were not content, or when individuals were deficient in their understanding of the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's when they went into the books of the Kufar and they started to seek examples from the books of the Kufar. We're in no need of that. We are in no need of that. Now, inshallah ta'ala, we'll stop on that point, and inshallah next week we will continue with regards to al-Iman bi-Kutubi, Iman in the books of Allah Azza, and we continue with the other pillars of Iman next week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Allah knows best. Sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala Nabi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasleeman kathira.